We welcome right now a great friend and one of the ultimate Raiders to help us set up Raider Week, Phil Villapiano. How you doing, brother?
Very good. I'm so happy you invited me for Raider Week, Brown Week, Boy Green Fighting Falcon Week, Al Davis Week. There's many, many great things about this week. So thanks for inviting me, Vic.
I think you're just perfect on so many counts. First of all, you embodied what Raider toughness, the whole Raider image is all about, this tough Jersey guy that you are. And then there's this Ohio connection, as you say, Bowling Green Fighting Falcon, an alum from there. It's just perfect. And one of the rare guys to come out of Bowling Green and have this great NFL career. So I know you've got a lot of Ohio pride.
Oh, absolutely. And Vic, I had no clue. Coming out of New Jersey, I flew Allegheny Airlines, $17, student standby, one suitcase, golf clubs, seersucker shorts, white band line, white patent leather shoes, got off in Toledo and wanted to get right back on the plane and go home.
you said I'm not in Jersey.
I saw all those cornfields coming out. I said, where am I going?
I'm not in Jersey anymore.
I got a taxi cab down to Bowling Green and loved every minute of it. So I became an Ohioan way back in, 1967?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh man, we're getting old, brother. Oh, but that's a beautiful thing. And then here's the other, and we should hit this early because I know how much this man meant to you and how close you were. Al Davis, his passing on Saturday, it's obviously become, it's a big national story, but for the Browns, Phil, it's something to look at as really a key factor in what they can expect coming to the Coliseum Sunday for the first home game played since his passing. How big of an impact do you really expect that to have?
Oh, I think it's going to be gigantic, Vic. And the Browns better, as they say, tighten their chin straps, because if you know this Raider team is a little bit better, I shouldn't say a little bit better, a lot better than they've been in the past. They've got some good senior leadership there, you know, in Seymour, and their quarterback Campbell's actually stepping up. They got their runners are running, they're running like crazy. I'm loving this team. And you know, Al Davis, that man grows on you. He shakes your hand for the first time. You start wanting to be around him. You want to listen to him. You want to work for him. And he becomes a big part of your soul. And just playing football for him becomes such an important thing. You want, because you knew he coached the best guys. He owned the best guys. He owned the best team. And when you get on the Raiders, you want to perform for that guy. And now that he's gone, I think the players are going to want to really play for Al Davis, and I think the fans are going to really want to cheer for Al Davis. This Brown team is walking into a beehive this weekend, Vic, so they better be ready. They better be ready for some football.
No, it feels that way, absolutely. The man, such an enigma, so hard for anyone. I know it's a study, and trying to figure him out, you and I would need not just an hour. We'd need hours, maybe days, weeks, months, years of radio time to discuss this. But in the amount of time that we do have, as best you can, help our audience understand sort of the essence of Al as you knew him.
Well, I'll give it to you, Vic, and I think I could describe it to you, and people might get a laugh out of this. I'm playing in a Senior Bowl game. I've never, ever met anybody from the Oakland Raiders ever. I think I'm going to be a Cleveland Brown. I think I'm going to be a New York Giant. And then they got me sent to the Senior Bowl game, watched me perform against some better players. I had an unbelievable game. I was running down on the opening kickoff and got a guy's elbow. His name was Richard Harris. I think he was the number one drafted by the Eagles, a gigantic lineman. I smashed into the wedge like a nut, and I come out with this gigantic black eye. I end up playing an unbelievable game. I'm coming off the field, and this guy grabs me, and he says, "Great game." And I had no clue who he was, but he was in an area where only the pros could get into.
Right.
And I said, "Thank you very much." I don't know who he is, but it just stunned me that this guy actually came up to me and said, "Great game." And then when I go out, now they start bringing me out there for these mini camps. Like every week they put me back out from went out to Bowling Green, out to Oakland. And Ray Malavasi was my linebacker coach. and Ray was never a linebacker, and so he couldn't really teach me how to cover the way this guy wanted me to cover, and this guy was just standing on the side of the field, and every single play he had something to say to me. Now, the guy looked familiar, but I couldn't place it, so after he started driving me completely nuts, I told Malavasi, I said, get this away from me, or I'm gonna just kill him. And he goes, I don't think so, Phil. That's your owner. And I looked at him, and he said, that's Al Davis. I went, oh, my God. The guy was at media camp. Vic, he was coaching every step I took, my body position, my every little thing that you could possibly coach, this guy was coaching. And he wasn't even my coach. He was the owner. So then I looked at Malavasi and I cracked up. So naturally, I wasn't going to say anything.
Right.
And after practice, he comes over to me and he goes, okay, Phil, now this is what we need to work on, blah, 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 blah. So he stayed with me every mini camp, and he got me prepared. And as a rookie, I was a starter, pretty much at the second preseason game. They needed the left linebacker. He stuck me in there, even though I didn't know anything. But he had confidence that I could run and do a little bit because he had worked with me all these times. And to make it so much better, because this is Brown weekend, we come to play the Cleveland Browns, the second or third game of the year.
Right.
Monday Night Football was brand new. Howard Cosell, Meredith, and Frank Gifford, was brand new. The whole world was loving it. And Al Davis grabs me in the locker room, and he goes, Phil, if Leroy Kelly puts his left hand down, he's running right. If he puts his right hand down, he's running left. Their tight end is old. He can't keep up to you. The tight end was Milt somebody. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he cannot run with you. So just whatever Kelly does, right hand down, he's going left. Left hand down, he's going right. Just key off that and go for it. I don't care if you cover a pass all day because you're not a passing team. And you know what, Vic? I must have made 25 tackles that night just going off that key that he gave me in the locker room before the game. It made me feel so comfortable that the owner said, I don't even have to cover, just tackle. And I went out and had a great game. I won the Lazy Boy chair for defensive player of the game. And, after Howard Cosell got done with me that night, Bowling Green and Phil Villapiano became a national name because of that game in the Browns' big old stadium.
Love it.
It was a beautiful thing, and I just give Al so much credit for little things like that. He meant so much to my career, and Vic, I can go on and on with stories about him. Like down in New Orleans, the same season, late in the season, I had a great game. I tackled everybody. I almost killed Danny Abramowitz for crack blocking me and almost got thrown out of the game. I started pounding him on the field because he cracked me in the knee. And that's how I got out of it. But one play in particular, the tight end comes into me. I'm covering the tight end. And Archie Manning, how about this? Peyton Manning, Eli Manning.
Right.
I remember the father, Archie, comes around the end, and we all knew what a great runner he was. So I shoved the tight end away from me. I come up to make the tackle. He dumps it over my head right into the tight end's hand. I felt like a fool in the locker room. All the great plays I made that day because I left the tight end. Al Davis ripped me a new one right in front of everybody. And I'm looking at him like, I wanted to cry. I played such a good game, But man, you could not make a mistake around that guy. And he was right. My man was the tight end. I was not supposed to cover the quarterback.
Right.
I had to do two things, and you learn a lesson, Do, in pro football, do your job, and then you help out. Great team.
Phil Villapiano joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4, the ultimate Raider linebacker for that team. And I know most of this can't really make air in family time here that we have, but I would ask you, if as best you can, is to tell us a little bit about what that attitude was then as a team, because you were successful on the field, but you guys did a lot of sort of insane things off the field. And the thought I had was, none of what you did off the field then would really fly today or most any time in the modern era.
Yeah, you're so right, Vic. And it's kind of like, you know, Al Davis knew every little thing that was going on. But Al Davis and John Madden were also a team at this. And John Madden was the master psychiatrist. I mean, Al would just crush us. But John Madden was the guy, you know, that had to deal with us day to day. And, you know, after all, I've been there a few years. After I'd been there 1 year, my real personality started coming out because I found a home, a place where all he wanted me to do was tackle. I mean, I could do that in my sleep. So it really became a home. I'm one of these type of guys that is like I'm a real organizer, and I love to have games, and I love to mess around. And it's always, you know, it's always a joke, you know, on a football field was not so much a joke, but on every other day, that was it. We had fun when we played. And I mean, it was Gus Otto was one of my mentors. He played the right linebacker my rookie year, and I played the left linebacker. And we used to go every night, and we played at this little bar called the Tack Room, and it was just a dive. And we used to play bowling, you know, the little bar bowling where you roll the ball,
right.
And anyway, Gus loved it so much, and Gus gets cut first thing my second year. I'm a little depressed about that. John Madden comes over to me and says, "Phil, look, man, this is, you know, as much as I know it hurt you that Gus is gone, but this is a business, and, you know, he broke his ribs last year, and he just couldn't get it back. And, you know, Phil, I don't want you to be affected, but I want you to play hard or remember him, remember what he taught you, but just play hard." So I liked what John said, so I decided to have the Gus Otto Memorial Bowling Tournament back at his favorite bar, and I got the whole team. We had team, you know, we had partners.
Right.
The whole team show up, and that became our first official tournament, and the guys went crazy. It was just a good night to get drunk, and John Madden gave us an extra hour out. So we did the bowling tournament, and I remember Bob Moore, who was my the tight end and also my roommate, him and I won the tournament because we spent more hours in that bar than anybody else. We won it, and then the next year I went down and I played in this played in a charity basketball game in Los Angeles, and for the prize. They, you know, the Raiders won, so I told the Raiders, they gave us a prize. Coleco was who made air hockey tables and stuff like that at the time. They were the sponsor, so they said, "Phil, what would you want?" I said, "Give me that giant air hockey table and send it to Santa Rosa." So then the next year we had bowling and we had the air hockey. So now we have everybody's coming by my room to play air hockey all summer. And that's back when training camps were like 8 weeks long.
Right.
So now we got the bowling every night, air hockey all during the day, and then we had two tournaments, and that was great. And then when we got back to Oakland, we also liked to play shuffleboard, barroom shuffleboard. So then we had two tournaments in camp, and we had a shuffleboard tournament during the season. I was the commissioner of all these things.
Right. You encouraged cheating, too? Cheating was encouraged.
Absolutely. It was number one rule. Right. Cheating was encouraged. You could do anything you want except hit somebody. Physical abuse was you couldn't do that, but any type of cheating.
Everything else went.
And we loved it. And like I remember for the air hockey tournament the first year, Freddie Biletnikoff was paired up with Bob Zeman, who was the defensive backfield coach.
Right.
Bob Zeman came into our room, and he measured the goal. And I never thought nothing of it. But he went and had a plastic, you know, like a see-through plastic shield.
Right.
And when they sat down to play, Freddie made a commotion. Bob Zeman snapped the shield over the goal. So anyway, they're going into, like, the finals. Nobody scored on these guys yet. And then we got into the finals, and then there was a thing. It was a very, very serious thing. It was called an unmolested free shot. So from the middle of the court, all you had to do was tip it from the center line right, right into the goal, and they're going to do that. Somebody's going to score on for the first time. It goes right at the goal, and it bounced off, and everybody looked at the goal, and there was that shield on there. And everybody gave him a standing ovation and cheered him for all the cheating they did. And we did took off the shield and they had to play the rest of the tournament, and they were pretty good. They actually won. So anyway, Vic, I'm going to let me finish up with one story. So if we do this now, we got these three tournaments going, and it's about my fifth or sixth year with the Raiders, maybe the seventh year. These tournaments went from like $2 admission to $5 to $10 to like $25 a player. The money was getting big. It was serious. If you won one of these things, we had plaques in the bars.
Right.
It was big stuff. And we opened up preseason one year. We lose the first. We lose the second. We lose the third. Madden's on a warpath. He just, you know, nobody wanted to look John in the eye. We weren't even concentrating on football. And the year before, the San Francisco Chronicle finds out that we're having the tournament and we're going to play the 49ers. We always played them in preseason. And I said something stupid like, look, man, we don't have time to worry about the 49ers. We have to worry about the air hockey tournament.
Oh, God.
Madden screamed at me. He went crazy right in front of the whole thing. Who do you think you are? You want to be a commissioner? Blah, blah, blah. Get out of my camp. He was ready to throw me out of camp. But John was a master psychiatrist. He did that just to fire up the team. That was the year before. Now we're 0-3, and we got the air hockey tournament coming. And Madden grabs me. You know, I was down in my room at lunchtime. He sends somebody down to get me, brings me back to the room, his room, and says, what kind of commissioner are you? And I look at John like, Coach, what are you talking about? He says, well, you know, yeah, I didn't have the bowling tournament. You know, I didn't hear anything about the air hockey tournament. How do you think we can win if you're not having your tournaments? Oh, so I laughed my ass off. I called the boys together. I said, let's go, boys. Bowling tournament tomorrow night. Next week's going to be the air hockey. So we put our tournaments in. We started winning. And that was Super Bowl year. That was 76. We went all the way to the Super Bowl. So John figured we weren't being ourselves if we weren't having tournaments and getting drunk every night. So, you know, that was the Raider
way. That was the Raider way at a very different time. Phil, we're visiting with Phil Villapiano, former Raider, as we get the Browns ready for Raider week here. But playing against the Browns, and you mentioned this coming out of Bowling Green, you were almost going to be a Brown, or you thought you were going to be a Brown. Give me some recollections of some of your Raider Brown memories.
Well, first of all, my first Raider Brown memory would be going to Bowling Green and wearing the same colors, everything. We looked like the Browns. And then, you know, because we're right down the road, and, you know, when I started playing pretty good football in college, there was a Brown guy practice most every day. I don't know if they came to Bowling Green to have a beer or look at me, but they were there watching me and talking to me and sending me letters. And I thought I was going to be a Brown, and it was no doubt about it. And, you know, Clarence Scott got to be the number one pick, and that kind of disappointed me, but I would have loved to have been number two, and I think they might have taken Doug Deacon or someone like that number two, which hurt, and I went off to the Raiders, and I never looked back, but I definitely want to be a Brown. And every time I played, you know, against the Browns, I always had a little special feeling to try and play as well as I could, you know, and our rivalry was good. I mean, if you remember back in back in the 70s when, you know, the Browns and the Raiders were, you know, in the AFC, and,
yep,
you know, they're battling it out to win their conferences, and it was just a great rivalry. And, you know, Doug Deacon being one of my best friends with the Browns, you know, him and I would always get together like the night before the game, whether it be in Cleveland or whether it be in Oakland. And I remember one night I brought him down to the best, it was called the Grotto, the best fish restaurant in Oakland. He gets sick. He has diarrhea the next day on the field, and he tells me, he's coming here to me, he's going to kill me because I get diarrhea.
Oh,
very untrue, but Deacon was a wild man. And so anyway, I love the Browns. You know, it always made me feel at home. You know, I love playing against them. You know, it's, you know, I remember when Sam Ratigliano was the coach over there, I always rooted for him, a great Italian guy, you know, And your owner, Art Modell, what a great guy he was. Matter of fact, he would talk to me all the time, kind of the way Al Davis would talk to everybody else. Art always made me feel like he was going to bring me in one of those days, but it never happened. But, hey, Browns and Raiders, you're going to see a great game this weekend, two great teams. I'm loving the Browns' new coaching staff. I'm loving the Browns. You know, they're finally finding a quarterback. And who knows? I think everybody's going to see a really good game out there this weekend. But be careful because it's Al Davis weekend.
It is. Phil, tremendous stuff. I thank you so much for taking time. We could go on forever. You're so entertaining and fun. I know you would be. I knew you would be. So thank you so much, and we will talk soon, my brother.
Okay, and I want everybody to know that Vic Carucci wrote the book on Conrad Dobler, and it was one of the greatest sports book ever written. But Vic, you've done a whole bunch of them by now. You're an old veteran, but I loved your book on Conrad Dobler. That was a great one.
You're very kind. I appreciate it. Phil Villapiano, the ultimate Raider, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.